This call may be recorded. Press 1 to accept.
Hey.
Hello?
Hey.
Hey. I'm sorry that this conversation is difficult for you. I'm not trying to hurt you or manipulate you.
Well,
to be honest, I really don't know. I don't know what the path forward is. I'm doing literally everything I know to do, try and resolve. I'm willing to do this program that you'd like me to do. I'm seeing a psychologist. All the psychologists that I've seen suggest that we get couples therapy. The extent that the statements that you've uncovered in the Honey Lake file were inaccurate, I didn't get to read my file. They were just talking to me, so I didn't know that there were inaccuracies in there.
But you need to understand the extent to which that means that none of the treatment they were giving you actually applies to your situation. Like, that's what you need to appreciate. You need to appreciate that you were being treated as a victim of abuse.
I don't know how much of their therapy would change based on those of differences, and maybe it obviously would change, and so yes, it had an effect, and I'm sorry. I didn't engineer any of that to be inaccurate. It's unhelpful therapy.
What?
I didn't engineer any of that to be inaccurate so that I would get unhelpful therapy. It's not the point of going to therapy.
You need to appreciate that that's what actually happened.
I do.
And that the way you just spoke to me about you being entitled to us doing shared parenting decisions was not okay.
On what basis, parent?
On the basis that when you are treating me poorly, I am not obligated to speak to you.
Nobody's saying that.
I am allowed to enroll my children in a school just like you are. But you don't get to talk down to me about it. You don't. You think that you're entitled to all of this teamwork, and you're not. You're not. That's a privilege that you definitely, definitely do not deserve at this point. You want your children moved to Yulee Primary School, you file an injunction. That's what you deserve to have to do based on your choices that you've made in your life with how you want to treat women. You deserve to have to file an injunction. not expect your wife to be in the same room as you.
I've never said that I expect you to be in the same room as me. So.
Well, you thought that we needed to discuss the whatever, and that's not...
I think that
that's
would
not,
be... A,
yeah, that entitlement mentality is sick and control... Yeah, it's not a basic entitlement of yours, Dustin. That's a privilege. I'm so scared of you. I'm so scared of you. I'm so scared of you.
What can I do to make you less scared?
I mean, you definitely... I don't know. I don't know how you change your whole, you've got to change your entitlement mentality for sure. You've got to end this quest to convince people that your wife's perceptions are wrong. That's not okay. That is not okay. That's not okay. You don't need to get a bunch of Teamsters to help you with your gaslighting of me. That's not the goal in your life. Is to convince your wife that her perception... Yes, you want this to all be about, we just have different perceptions, and we just need couples counseling so that... But here's the thing. When your wife tells you one of her perceptions, that's all that matters to you. So if your wife's perception is that, if your wife's perception is that you're being inappropriate with Julie, that's all that matters, period. Full stop. There is no goal of changing your wife's perception to be more like yours. The problem isn't your wife's perception there. The problem is your insane, selfish brain thinking that all you need to do is change your wife's perception so that you can still live your life however you want. That's messed up. Your wife's perception is a good thing to be honored and revered and appreciated. not a thing to warp and change and bend to your will. And it is gaslighting, Dustin. I'm just gonna have to continue. What?
What were you gonna say? You're gonna have to continue what?
I guess I'm just gonna have to continue using that word, so that you can learn to recognize it.
It's not helping me recognize it because when.
But you.
I feel like throughout the situation, I feel like I have recognized where I have wronged you.
I can't hear you anymore.
Huh?
I can't hear you anymore.
I said throughout the situation, I feel like I have identified several areas where I have clearly wronged you and apologized.
Yeah.
And I feel like there are other situations where we're not on the same page about that. And I don't know how to bridge that gap. But it's not gaslighting you. Gaslighting you is taking something that I know to be incorrect and pretending that it is correct.
Yeah. That's a habit. That's like a habitual way for you to approach. That's habitual.
And you have a habitual way of saying that everything that you think that
you hear what you just said. That is very manipulative. I will not allow you to speak to me that way. I'm going to interrupt you when you do that because it is very manipulative and it is toxic to me to be treated that way. That's not okay. That's gaslighting. Can we agree that you won't do that anymore?
Do what, honey?
Tell that lie about me.
What lie?
Say to me, because every time there's something that you don't like, you say that it's... Like, can you maybe never do that again because it's not okay?
I think that I'm going to continue to get therapy.
No. I'm referring specifically to you making blanket statements about Erin always taking everything that she thinks and make, like, can you stop with the everything statements about me?
Sure.
Because you're just asking me to believe lies about myself and you're just asking me to doubt my own perceptions or doubt whether I'm dealing honestly with the facts instead of speaking to the facts.
Yeah.
Do you recognize that these things that you say that you've recognized over the last 6 months are things that you knew to begin with and just gave up trying to lie about? Finally?
I don't know, honey. It's not clear to me.
Well, that's important because that's what gaslighting, that's gaslighting. When there's a very clear reality and you're denying it just because you pray that people will go along with your made-up version.
I think and that you, what was going on with me psychologically is a lot more complex than... ...and decided to sinfully act on it. It's like,
what?
I think that the situation was a lot more... psychologically complex.
You're cutting out. Do you have a better microphone?
No, it's the signal.
Oh. Well, you're calling it a psychological problem, but it's a character problem. And if you're talking about related to Julie, that comes from over-masturbation and overuse of pornography from a very young age.
I guess is exactly the point that I was making because I don't,
that's
I don't
really
think that actually has that much to do with it, honestly.
That,
so.
I'm just saying your brain is very, 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 very warped. When it comes to understanding appropriate masturbation and appropriate thought life and appropriate ways to deal with lustful thoughts, you are way, 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 way off the map so far that you have no concept of what a man with a brain that has made better decisions in their formative years would think and do with stuff like that. There's a character problem that you think it's okay to watch pornography. There's a character problem.
It had nothing to do with pornography or even...
Oh, I know. No, I know.
Sexual
but
attraction,
saying,
really. We had an emotional connection.
No, you're lying. Nope, you're lying. You're lying. That's a lie. Why are you still lying to me? Do I deserve to be gaslit by you? Is that a healthy thing for us to hold on to in our relationship right now?
I'm not lying.
Has that been working for you? You are a liar, Dustin. You are a liar. You did think about having sex with Julie. You did think that you would like it. You did think that she would like it. Why would we lie about that at this point? I don't understand. You're like your mom.
That has nothing to do with...
It's not like you want me to actually believe you. It's just you just want me to behave as though I believe you so that we can both pretend the same thing. And in your mind, that makes it true. So there's no point in saying things that are not true at this point.
I'm not saying something that wasn't true.
You're saying that what you did was you deceived yourself so that you wouldn't have to deal with feelings of shame, and you deceived yourself to convince yourself that you were innocent. Is that what you're saying?
I don't know.
Because that's what Aaron told you over and over. He said, you're deceiving yourself. Sin is deceptive. That's how it works. But this whole thing that you're hanging on to about me not allowing you to see your children, it's not any different than the affair you had with Julie. It's not about my perception of your relationship with Julie. The problem was not that you needed to change Aaron's perception so that Aaron would perceive your relationship with her as being innocent. And if Aaron perceived your relationship with Julie as being innocent, then it would be innocent and okay. That was not the issue. The issue was not Aaron's perception. But you wanted to convince Aaron that it was just her perception. You wanted to convince Aaron that you had done nothing wrong. You wanted to gaslight me into your fantasy world where you had an appropriate relationship with Julie. That was gaslighting, and it was not okay, and it was harmful. And it's the same thing with your self-deception regarding you being a victim of not getting to see your kids enough. The problem is not that I perceive that I was allowing you to see your kids. And the problem is not that you just need to convince me that I wasn't allowing you to see your kids. That's not the actual problem. Right? The actual problem is that I was doing everything that I could to state to you that you could see your kids anytime you wanted, 24/7, without restrictions, and I was putting way more energy into scheduling times for you to visit them. I was putting way more energy into messaging you repeatedly to ask you what time you plan to pick them up, 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 so I could put it on the calendar, and you side-skirting the question of what time are you picking them up, going into long things to shame me about not working together toward you having more time with the kids in general. Like, the actual problem is you wanting to make yourself into a victim there and that not being real. And that being based on you never really, really, like, fully being able to do the executive function of thinking through your work schedule and how you would actually get the kids to school and pick them up from school and, you know, there's a lot of logistics.
I looked at the actual
I'm just saying that's an executive function problem. You've never actually had to fully take responsibility for the logistics of everyday life and a household. When I was working full-time, I did. When I was working full-time, I got the kids ready for school. When I was working full-time, I made sure that Lucy had her homework ready. When I was working full-time, I made sure I figured out where they were going for aftercare. When I was working full-time, I made sure that I got off of work in time to pick them up when I said I would. When I was working full-time, I still had to do the grocery shopping. When I was working full-time, I still had to have dinner on the table. When I was working full-time, I still did the laundry for our family of five. When I was working full-time, I was still the one who did the housekeeping. When I was working full-time, I still kept up with keeping the kids' toys organized. Like, when I was working full-time, I still had to do 100% of the tasks of keeping a household running and thinking about child care and children's welfare and everything. And you've never had a time where those tasks had to fall to you. So I don't think that you have a realistic sense of what actually goes into being the person who's responsible for taking care of three children for 7 days straight without your wife telling you what's going to happen next or how it's going to be taken care of. And I did receive a lot of messages from you that made it sound like you had some expectation that I was going to swoop in and tell you, you know, that Simon was going to go to my mom's house or whatever, but you never actually took the proactive steps to actually be actually able to actually care for your kids for 7 days without my help. But that's not the same as your wife not allowing you to.
And I asked you if I could have them, that you never would let me. I got over the change it.
I'm sorry. Whoa. Since we last had this conversation, did you read all of our Family Wizard messages?
No.
Okay, so you're speaking to me right now from the same warped victimhood perception that you were speaking of during that time when you were delusional and you were not well. Your memory is based on your recollection of what you thought was happening at
that
time.
You're the only person in my life that claims that I'm delusional.
That, I don't know about that.
Okay.
I don't know about that.
Well,
I mean, I am the only person who knows all the facts. I am the only person who knows all the facts. I'm just saying, I specifically told you to go back and read those messages. And it sounds, and why you would make a decision not to do that doesn't really make sense to me. I would have thought that would have been a pretty big priority for you to go home and read all those messages and figure out how your smart, intelligent, grounded, faithful wife could read those messages, and I have, and look through all of them and come away with the perception that she never prevented you from seeing your kids, except for that time that it had been on the schedule for a long time, and she had told Janet she could buy tickets to the symphony. But even that, obviously, was a weekend that you could have scheduled to have your kids if you just went in the calendar and just clicked on that day so that I would know to tell Janet, no, don't buy symphony tickets, which I would have. I mean, I do. I feel like it's the same as you saying that you didn't cheat on me. Like, you just have it in your mind that you were so innocent and your wife needs to change her perception of it and your wife is the bad one, and that doesn't necessarily match the reality of the fact that your wife told you you could have the kids anytime and the fact that your wife was the one who was having to proactively schedule visitation for you, and the fact that you didn't schedule your own visitation ever, and the fact that you could have at any point gotten off of work, driven to their school, checked them out, and kept them.
It had nothing to do with that app. I asked you over and over again if I could have the kids 50-50.
I know, but I didn't stop you. Like, I'm not the judge who gets to hand down an order of what the schedule is going to be.
I haven't ever wanted to involve the courts in any of this. I was trying.
But
to
the only I'm just saying the only time I said no was when you said that you wanted me to be the before and after care. And obviously that was a terrible idea. And obviously, I had no obligation to do that for you. But that doesn't mean that I did anything ever.
That doesn't mean that taking care of our children.
That doesn't mean that I know. But that doesn't mean you're changing the subject. You're changing the subject. That doesn't mean that I ever did any. You are. I never did anything to prevent you from keeping your kids for a full week at a time. That's what you've got to get through your head. Is that at the time that you chose not to
I wasn't trying to involve the court, Aaron. I didn't want
to
get
involved. You didn't need to involve the court. You didn't need to, because I wasn't blocking
you. You needed to consent to me having the kids.
I didn't know. I did not need to consent. That wasn't necessary. You had as much right to pick them up from school every day of the week as I did.
Okay, well.
You didn't need anything from me. You asked me to be there before and after care, and I said no to that. But if you had gotten before and after care from somebody else, and if you had told me that you were going to have the kids for a full week the following week, there was nothing stopping you, not even me. And I didn't even say no to that. I didn't even have an opportunity to say no to that, because you never even set it up as a proposal. What? Hello?
I suggested that.
What? Hello? Hello? What?
Hi.
Hi.
Gotta get going. Truck thing.
What?
I got my truck in Jenny's parents' backyard. I gotta back it out of here and turn the lights off and stuff.
Oh, okay. Well, I wish that your actual goal was not to change my perception, and I wish that your actual goal was to care about my perception.
Always care about your perception, honey.
No, you don't. You just want to change it and convince me that it's some arbitrary thing that's not based in reality. And that's not fair when my perception is spot on. You want to convince CA that this is a wife's perception problem. You want to convince your therapist that this is a wife's perception problem.
Anything.
Yeah, you want everybody to say that you and your wife just need to get on the same page with a couples counselor. And
I don't think we need to be on the same page. I think you are
you just need to care. You just need to care when I say you're cheating on me and stop cheating on me. You just need to care when I say I didn't say that I put the kids in public school, so I could put all my time in divorcing you.
I do care. It just doesn't mean that it didn't happen.
It does.
It doesn't mean that. Aaron,
it does.
Because it did happen.
We're sitting on a couch, and you don't even know what house the couch was at. Like, I don't understand when there could have been an opportunity for that to have happened.
I understand that, but I don't know. Just because it happened and I remember it happening doesn't mean that I don't care. I do care.
No. You don't. You don't. You don't.
I think my goal is.
You don't. Because you understand, when you have a perception, that your wife won't allow you to see your children, and your wife has a perception that she would allow you to see your children anytime you wanted, who is the victim in that?
Who is harm?
It depends on who you believe.
Nope.
Yeah, I thought.
No. If my version of events was true, and you were allowed to see your children anytime you wanted, would that be harmful to you? Would that be a bad thing? Would that be a problem? No, that would be just a neutral, normal situation. But if it were true
that I don't think that that's correct, that would be harmful to you.
No. I'm talking about if we both decided to go with my version of events, right? If you and I said, okay, well, that makes sense. Let's operate as though she was allowing him to see his kids. Would there be anybody who's harmed by that? Would that be a bad situation? No, there's nothing. That's a neutral. There's nothing to it, right? But if your perception is correct and your wife is not allowing you to see your children and keeping you from your children and blocking you from seeing your children and denying your time with your children and taking your children away from you, like, who is harmed in that scenario? Your wife is. That's harmful to me for that to be the story. That puts me in a vulnerable situation. That puts me in an unsafe situation. That gives you a lot of power over me.
I don't follow you.
Huh?
It's harmful to me if I'm not allowed to see our kids. That's harmful to me.
No. No. If your wife is blocking you from seeing your children, then your wife is doing something bad and evil. Right?
Yeah.
And your wife is the one that needs to be dealt with, possibly by church discipline, possibly by the judicial system. Your wife needs to be punished for that terrible act. She's the one who is in a vulnerable position if that narrative is believed by everybody. That is harmful to your wife. It puts you in a position of power and control over your wife. It gives you the ability to manipulate your wife if everybody believes that narrative. But the narrative I was trying to push was not harmful to you. It's simply...
I don't understand. You're talking about, like, this is some marketing campaign.
It's not a marketing campaign. It's abuse. It's abusive. It's abusive for you to say that story. To yourself, to me, to other people, that is abusive. It's not okay. It's not, you're not a safe person to be in relationship with. If you go back and read all of our messages from that time, and you recognize that nothing actually prevented you from seeing your kids any moment of any day, of any week, of any month, except for the time that I had tickets to the symphony, because you failed to check the calendar and you failed to read the messages carefully and you failed to make sure things were on the schedule the way you wanted them. But you twisted that around and made your wife some kind of terrible, deceptive, awful, selfish woman for your negligence. Like, when you look at the actual situation where you were the one who was not proactive in scheduling anything for your kids or with your kids, but you got everybody to believe that you're...
It's not obligated to use your wizard app.
I know, but you didn't actually sign them up for before care. I know, but you didn't actually sign them up for before care and after care. And yeah, I did have...
Sense to me having
I
them.
Did have, I did asked, have every... I did have
I have them every other weekend.
I did have every right to give you that boundary that I was comfortable communicating with you in that way. And it is really, really sick for you right now in this moment to still have that entitlement mentality that you shouldn't have to meet your wife's safety boundaries for communication. That's not okay, Dustin. That's not okay for you to feel that sense of entitlement. You are not entitled to communicate with me whatsoever. Having a woman who's willing to put herself in the vulnerable position of having a phone conversation with you is a privilege. Having a woman who's willing to put herself in the vulnerable position of doing regular text messages with you is a privilege. Having a woman who's willing to put herself in the vulnerable position of having a face-to-face conversation with you without witnesses present is a privilege. You're not entitled to any of those things. And it is really, really, really sad that you think that your wife is doing something aggressive or wrong to you by not making herself vulnerable in those ways. You have a problem. You have a problem with power and control if you think that you shouldn't have to use our family wizard. You definitely have a problem with power and control if you think that your wife is somehow obligated to put herself in vulnerable situations of using regular text messaging or regular phone calls or regular face-to-face conversations. That's a problem for you. What?
Anyway.
What?
I don't know. I really gotta get going. It's not fair for me to be back here right now.
All right, bye.